thank you for joining us today.
God, do it again. Do what you're famous for. There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace. Your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Say, make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of liars, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for.
I believe in you, God, I believe.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's our Wednesday night's Bible study opportunity for you to come and just sit along with me tonight as we just walk through some things about the Word of the Lord. And definitely we've been on a series called Conversations with Jesus. So I just want to welcome those that are here already watching and just invite everybody else to just join along with us. Let us know you're here. Give us a thumbs up, smiley face, wave at us. If you have comments, feel free to share those. And definitely if you have a prayer request, love to pray for you and pray with you about that as well. Also, don't forget, I know these are Wednesday nights, but if you still want to give to the work of the Lord or to the church, you know, or if you have tithes or offerings, this is your church. We encourage you to give. Definitely, you're invited to give if you don't go to this church, but that's between you and the Lord. For sure, definitely. But you can go online or to our website or actually here on Facebook. You can scroll up there to details and you can click the link to our vlcag.org, our website, and go to the menu and click give, and it'll take you to a giving link. If you have the church app, you can go there as well. And you can give through our church link. So, Lord bless you. Thank you for our faithful givers. We really appreciate that. I see Becky. Hey, Becky, thanks for watching. Wayne and Clara, Charlotte, Sandra. I see some of y'all that are popping on already. Hope you're doing well and you've had a great week. Wow, weather changed in a hurry, didn't it? Got kind of chilly this morning. Wind chills down in the 30s. Wow, where did all that beautiful spring weather go? Well, hey, it's still the end of February. So, you know, really it was a surprise to have weather that warm this time of the year. But we received it, didn't we? And it's been beautiful. I know probably your allergies have been messed up a little bit, if you like me, with things happening and so forth. But hey, let's get started tonight. I heard a little funny story about a husband who was concerned about his wife having some hearing issues. And so he called the doctor and said, "Hey, doctor, I'm really concerned about my wife having some hearing issues, but I really just don't know how to go about speaking to her about this situation." Well, the doctor said, "Well, let's perform a little test first, and let's see how she responds to that before we make any hasty decisions about her hearing." He says, "Next time you have dinner, stand about 40 feet away. And as she's fixing dinner, just kind of in a conversational tone, just a normal tone, just say, 'Hey, honey, what's for dinner?' And if she doesn't hear you, move up about 10 feet to 30 feet and say it again. And then move up to about 20 feet and 10 feet. And let's just see how her hearing range is." So the next night, the husband is in the den and his wife's in the kitchen cooking dinner for them. And so he says, "I'm going to get up. I'm going to try this." So he's about 40 feet away from his wife. And he says in just a normal conversational tone, he says, "Honey, hey, what's for dinner?" Well, after she doesn't respond in a second, he scoots up about another 10 feet. And he says it again, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" Well, she still doesn't respond, so he scoots up another 10 feet to about 20 feet from her, getting close to the dining area. And he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she still doesn't respond, and she has her back to him this whole time, so he scoots up another 10 feet right to the door of the kitchen, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she doesn't respond again, so he gets right up behind her, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She says, "For the fifth time, I said we're having chicken." Well, I don't know who's having a hearing problem, right? If it was the wife or the husband. But nonetheless, I thought that was kind of a cute little funny statement there. But hey, so glad you're here tonight. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to ask the Lord to be with us as we get ready tonight to get into our teaching tonight. And as we go into part five of Conversations with Jesus. So definitely want to just pray for anybody that has needs tonight. And we'll just lift you up and just lift up everyone that might be going through some things in your personal life. And we're going to pray. I know Becky, you and both of your boys have had some needs. And so we definitely want to keep remembering them. Sandra, your knees, I know you've had some issues there. And so has Judy McDougall's had some problems and some issues with her legs. And I know Cheryl's been asking prayer for her cousin, Joanne. I want to pray for that, Joanne. And then Becky, you've been praying for your family member, Joanne. So we want to just remember all of these in prayer tonight as we get ready to go. And so let's take a moment and let's pray. John, Donna, Jeanette, thanks for watching tonight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this evening you've given us just to come and just worship you and spend time in your presence. Thank you for those that are joining us online. Lord, just pray that you would touch them and meet their needs. God, those that are hurting tonight, Father, whatever issues they're having, Father, whether it's some leg issues, knee issues, Father, whether it's cancer or just some other issues, Lord, with a brain bleed, Father, if it's diabetic conditions, God, blood pressure. We just pray for healing for that tumor, Lord, in Joanne's head. Lord, we just pray for a removal of that you would bring her complete healing and strength. God, you know every need, Father, of our people tonight and of your church, and we just ask you to bless this nation. God, you know there's voting, early voting that's been going on as well. We just pray for that, for your will to be done, for righteousness to prevail. For Israel, the Jews, we just pray for their protection, Lord, and just for all your people in every nation around the world. Touch people, Lord. Bring healing. Bless your church, Lord. Just to raise up a fresh anointing on your people around the world. And we just pray for this church that you'd raise up a fresh anointing here. And Lord, we just ask you to do that, Father. You know every need we have, Father. We've got some pastors in our section that are dealing with some issues with their church. Lord, I just pray for Trinity Life. I pray for Calvary Temple. God, I just pray that you'd meet every need, Father, right now. Supply the needs, and we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, let's get started tonight, and we're going to be talking, this is part five, on conversations with Jesus. We're just looking at some different conversations that Jesus had with people as he was here on the earth and as he walked here on the earth, and even all the way up until the cross and after his after the cross at his resurrection appearances. We talked a little bit about that with the two guys on the road to Emmaus. But tonight we're going to look at a different scripture in Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look at Jesus hanging on a cross with the two thieves. Timothy Keller said this in a quote. He says, Jesus didn't come to give us the answers to the questions of life. He came to be the answer, right? Jesus didn't come to tell us the answers to the questions of life. He came to be the answer. You know, if you need the answer, Jesus is the answer, right? There was a course that was out years ago. It said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. If you need an answer tonight, well, can I tell you who has the answer or who is the answer? It's Jesus. Amen. He might not give us all the answers to our questions because those might be some questions that maybe he doesn't need to answer for us. They might be rhetorical questions or maybe just some questions that really, you know, he doesn't see that we need an answer to those at this time. But he is the answer to all of questions of life. And so we come to him tonight and we ask him to give us answers to these conversations that he had with different people while he walked on earth, and give us answers to his word. What are you saying to us tonight through your word? Joe Daniels and Christy Latana wrote this book, and in this book, they talked about five ways to engage people the way Jesus did. And they said in this article, they said Jesus put energy into connecting people and pulling individuals together for the common good. He did so persistently, intently, and sometimes effortlessly, even when he was in the presence of those he didn't even know very well or who didn't like him very much. You see, Jesus was very good at observing people and situations, and he would listen to people so intently that it did not take long for him to discern what really mattered to someone. From whether it was discerning Simon Peter's deep frustration with empty nets of a failed night's fishing expedition or to a foreign woman's embarrassment and shame at a well because she somehow couldn't shake up the problems or shake off the problems or pain of her past. You see, Jesus was a master communicator and a master conversationist, and he could connect with the heart of anyone and then heal that heart with a simple word or command. You know, friends, sometimes all it takes is one word from the Lord that will change your circumstances or will change the pain and suffering that you're going through, that will take your sorrow and give you joy instead, or will take your confusion and your discouragements and give you peace and make you feel the overwhelming presence of the Lord. Sometimes all he needs to speak is one word in our life, but that's because he's a master at doing that. He's a master at conversing with people. And we've been looking at this for the last four. This will be the fifth week that we've been talking about conversations with Jesus. And tonight I just want to look at that a little bit more. Whitney Hoppler, she said in an article titled Communicate Like Jesus, she said, here's one way how you can learn to communicate like Jesus. She said, realize that communication is a way of living, not a skill set. Communication is a way of living, not a skill set. She said, understand that Jesus, who never conducted a media campaign or traveled the globe or took university courses in communication, has influenced the world more than anyone else who has ever lived because of who he was, just his character, just his way of living. She said, know that people will respond to your character much more than they will to any communication techniques you use. I know there are some people that are well-versed and well-rehearsed and just well-skilled and communicated. And there are great teachers and great preachers and great leaders that have that uncanny ability, great teachers and professors that can teach the Word of God, can teach in general things well and in a way that people can understand. But Jesus was one of those master communicators. He didn't have a PhD or he didn't have a doctorate or whatever it took for you to teach in some kind of a class setting, but he was a master at communicating to people's needs, where they were and what they were going through. And I'm going to be honest, friends, his word has stood the test of time, hasn't it? Amen. Everything he said is still just as relevant and still just as good to us today as it's ever been. If we will take the time to reach in and to lean in and hear these conversations that Jesus had in his word. Luke chapter 23 is where I want to take you for a few minutes tonight if you want to follow along with me. And I'm just going to skip down to verse 32. We're not going to read all this chapter here, but just kind of go to part of the crucifixion here. If you want to follow along, this is the New Living Translation. It said, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. And when they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, the one on his right and the one on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice or casting lots. Verse 35, the crowd watched and the leader scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a sign that was fastened above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. Verse 39 says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. Matter of fact, other gospel writers even said that they both scoffed at him. But one of them here in Luke's gospel scoffed at him saying, so you're the Messiah? Are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied these powerful words, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. You know, there really wasn't a lot said in this conversation. You know, you have to understand Jesus and the thieves are both, all three hanging on crosses. And Jesus has been beaten with a cat of nine tails. He has been bruised and crowned. He has been ripped open. He is exhausted. He hasn't had sleep for over a night. He hasn't had anything to eat or drink. Blood has poured out of his body. He has carried the crossbeam to the cross about 2 to 2.5 miles to Golgotha's hill. He is literally exhausted. He is weak. He is hurting. He is in pain. He has been humiliated. And so you can understand that there wasn't a lot that needed to be said at this time. But I like what we say sometimes and what songs have said. While Jesus was on the cross, we were on his mind. Friends, can I tell you that he was always ready for an opportunity to speak to somebody's life? Can I tell you, friends, if he could speak to a thief hanging on a cross at this point in his life where he's having to pull himself up to just gasp for air before his lungs collapse and his body just completely goes limp, he's doing everything he can with all the strength he has just to be able to speak these few words, even as he hangs on the cross to the onlookers and to the women and to John and to the thief, and just as he speaks to his father about, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we have to understand this was a difficult time. But even in the midst of difficulties, friends, Jesus was always there, willing and able to speak a word into somebody's life. Conversations. Can I tell you, friends, if he did that then, how much more will he speak into your life today? If you'll let him, if you'll give him an opportunity, if you'll ask him, if you'll spend time with him, talk to him, and then listen to him. Let me just give you three things tonight in this section of scripture here tonight about conversations with Jesus, what I see out of this tonight. And here's number one, conversations with Jesus remind us that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. There I stood condemned to death and he took my place. Friends, can I tell you that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in need of a Savior. Amen. But by grace are we saved through faith and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 39 tells us that one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed at him. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. If he knew who Jesus was, he had no care about what he was doing there. And he had no desire to be a part of what he was going through. Maybe he was in agreement with those that were scoffing at Jesus from below. But the other criminal in verse 40 protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die?" We deserve to die for our crimes, for our sins, we could say. But this man hasn't done anything wrong. What a powerful statement that is, friends. He recognized in that moment, maybe he had heard Jesus holler to the Father or with breath. I say holler, just call out and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. As those below, the religious leaders and the Roman officers scoffed at him and the people, he didn't rail back at them. Amen. He took it knowing who he was and what his purpose was there for. Maybe that impressed that thief so much that it challenged who he was as a sinner. You see, what we learn from the saved thief on the cross, we could say, or this thief on the cross who would make this confession to the Lord, is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And no matter the number of our sins, and no matter if we or the world think our sins are minor or extreme, it is never too late to repent and accept the free gift of salvation. Wow, what a powerful statement. Oh, maybe there's a point in your life where you can deny Christ so much and he'll give you over to a reprobate mind. But friends, I believe that there are opportunities for all mankind, amen, to come to Jesus as a sinner and have their sins washed away. Have this conversation with Jesus if they will. Some people call this a deathbed experience. The first, maybe the only one that's really recorded in scriptures before he died, where he gave his heart to the Lord and accepted who Jesus was as the King of the kingdom. It is said that it is remarkable that while in the excruciating and mind-numbing torment of the cross, the Son of Man still had the heart and the mind and the will to pray for others. Yet it is also a miracle that one thief, while in agony himself, heard the Spirit of God call him to repentance or compel him and acceptance of the forgiveness that God was just about to provide through the death of Jesus Christ, because at that moment it hadn't been fully atoned for or paid for, but it was coming. While the disciples were abandoning the Lord, this man answered the call, and I believe his sins were forgiven. You see, friends, God is just looking for people to come to him. Why does God have conversations? Why does the Lord have conversations with people? Because he wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. God wishes that all should be saved. God's desire that no man should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he came, wasn't it? To give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Friends, I'm going to tell you what, there are sinners in the world that need Jesus. Amen. And if Jesus could spend his last few breaths, amen, welcome him in this thief on the cross into the kingdom of God, we can spend our breaths, amen, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to have conversations with the Lord, definitely. And then we need to have conversations with people about the Lord. Amen. I believe that God understands. He knows our hearts. He also knows the hearts of the unbelievers, friends. And he's just waiting for somebody just to have a conversation with him. You see, conversations with Jesus, number one, remind us that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Here's number two. Conversations with Jesus also give us faith for today and hope for tomorrow. Verse 42, Jesus, this is the thief talking to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, he had enough at this moment for whatever reason. Something had changed. We're not exactly for sure what brought this change of heart to him, but surely it must have been maybe through the witnessing of Jesus' silence and his agony. Maybe it was through the title King of the Jews that was placed above his head on the cross. Maybe it was hearing Jesus' prayer to the Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But somewhere, this thief realized his own guilt. He realized Jesus' sinlessness. He realized that maybe God was a judge and there was a possibility of forgiveness for his sins. He realized that Jesus is the king, the true king of a kingdom that is beyond death and that is beyond the earth. Maybe he saw some things there that maybe stirred up his heart. And so in the moment, he asked Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Wow, what a remarkable confession of faith that was, wasn't it? He had faith for today, and maybe it was a little faith. Maybe it was a very limited faith. Maybe he didn't have much of an understanding of any of this, but he knew there was something about Jesus, something about Jesus that he needed and he wanted. And I believe that this conversation with Jesus gave him the faith for today, the faith to endure these last few hours, even for that thief hanging on the cross, the faith to endure, and the hope for tomorrow. Friends, I'm going to tell you, without hope, we are all men most miserable, the Bible says. If all we have is what we see in this world, we're a miserable people. But aren't you glad that we have hope for something better than what we see? We have hope for something greater than what we experience, friends. We have hope in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, God wants to give us faith today, but he also wants to give us hope for tomorrow. I just love this story, and I just love how the Lord is speaking it to this thief in this moment of time and telling him that today you will be with me in paradise. That's a recognition that there's something better for him tomorrow, today and tomorrow and throughout eternity. Rick Warren, that pastor of Saddleback Community Church in California, he wrote a devotional article titled, "It's Too Soon to Quit." He said, "Do you know the difference between faithful people and unfaithful people?" He said, "Unfaithful people give up at the very first sign of difficulty. Faithful people keep on keeping on. Faithful people are determined, diligent, and persistent. They don't know how to quit. You know how a little acorn becomes an oak tree? An oak tree is just an acorn that refused to give up. I don't have it all figured out," he says, "but I do know one thing. You are never a failure unless or until you quit. And it is always too soon to quit. God uses tough times to test our persistence." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, and we don't have this on the for you tonight on the overhead, but on the screen. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, it won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Aren't you glad, friends, that Jesus didn't give up? Even aren't you glad that he didn't quit before he got to the cross, and he didn't quit while he was on the cross and say, "You know what, Dad, this is enough. Just get me off this cross. Amen. Just wipe out everyone that's beat me, spit up on me, cursed me, and all whipped me and all these things. Let's just end this thing right now and start all over." No, he was willing to finish the plan that him and the Father and the Spirit had from the very beginning of time, friends. Faithful people don't quit. When you have conversations with Jesus, it will inspire your faith. It will encourage your faith. When you're ready to throw in the towel, when you're ready to high head out of town, can I tell you, friends, God will increase your faith. He will speak into your faith. He will encourage your faith, and you'll have the endurance and the willpower to stand strong and just keep standing when all else around you is failing. There's a quote that says, "God is more interested in what you're becoming than what's happening to you." God is more interested in what you're becoming than what's happening to you. You see, friends, the thief couldn't change what he had done. He couldn't go back and redo his mistakes. He had some crime committed worthy of death, both of the thieves, that couldn't be changed, but his tomorrow could be. His future destination could be secure because of what Jesus was doing there at the cross for him. Friends, God's more interested in what you're becoming. Not what you did, but who you are and what he sees in you. Come on, don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. I don't know what you did in your past. I don't know what bad experiences you've walked through, but can I just encourage you today? Don't give up. Don't turn back. Keep pressing on for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God has a plan for you. And he's interested in who you are becoming for him. He has an interest in what you're going to receive from him, the rewards, the blessings, the favor, friends. Come on, let's don't quit. What if Jesus would have quit too soon? What if he had not decided to go to the cross? Well, two things. The thief would have had no hope for tomorrow and no reason to believe for today. The thief would have had no hope for tomorrow and no reason to believe for today. He wouldn't have had any reason to even talk to the Lord about remember me when you come into your kingdom. If Jesus would have quit too soon, if he would not have gone to the cross, there would have been nobody to say that to or confess that to. He'd have no hope for eternity. He would have just died a miserable thief on a cross. What would have happened if Jesus would have quit too soon or if he decided not to go to the cross? Well, you and I would have no hope for tomorrow. And no reason to believe for today, friends. But because of what Jesus did for us 2,000 plus years ago, we have hope for tomorrow and we have faith to believe today, friends. Keep believing in what you know is true. Keep believing the Lord will see you through. Have a conversation with Jesus. That's what you need. If you're down and discouraged tonight, then find a quiet place to get with him. Get a secret closet of prayer. Go in your bedroom, shut your door. I don't know what you need. Go out in your backyard and sit on the porch. I know it's a little cool tonight, but find a place to get along with Jesus and have a conversation, friends. Amen. Don't lose your faith for today, and don't lose your hope for tomorrow. Can I tell you, God is still in control. Amen. God is still in control. He's got all this thing worked out, friends. Amen. He's still in control of our nation. He's still in control of the earth, of Israel. He's still in control of the church because it's his church. And he said he'd build his church, friends, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's just keep believing. Keep believing by faith. And let's just keep hoping. Let's just keep hoping that God's going to work it all out because he will. Because he did at the cross. Conversations with Jesus not only encourage our faith for today and our hope for tomorrow, but conversations with Jesus are also for verbal encouragements that we are never alone. Why do we need to have conversations with Jesus? Because the Lord just wants to keep reminding us that we're not in this by ourselves. You're not alone, friends. Can I tell you that you have somebody that will stick with you closer than a brother? There is somebody that will walk with you and talk with you and lead you and guide you. Even like that poem says, when you only see one set of footprints in the sand, it's because he was carrying you in that moment. Come on, God will never leave you alone. Look what Jesus said in verse 43 to the thief on the cross. He replied, I assure you today you will be with me in paradise. And that's an interesting statement in itself. And a lot of people have questioned, you know, how could he say that today you will be with me in paradise? And he hadn't yet died and been buried in the tomb and come out the third day. And when he told Mary, don't touch me for I've yet ascended to my Father. Amen. You know, there's a lot of controversy, but a lot of people believe that there was this. Some people believe it was even in maybe parts of the earth, in the center of the earth, not hell, but there was this place called Abraham's bosom. There was a chasm or a gulf between the place for the righteous dead and a place for the unrighteous dead. You remember as the rich young ruler wanted Lazarus just to put a water drop on his finger and so he could have that to quench the thirst that was from all the heat and whatever torture he was going through. But there's this place they called paradise. And I believe that when that thief died, he went to that place called paradise because Jesus had not yet died and been buried and not yet ascended to the Father. But we know that after his resurrection, that we know the righteous dead were seen walking around the towns. And I just believe that, friends, he carried the righteous dead into heaven after his resurrection. But that's another story for another day. But I believe that the encouragement to the thief was is that you'll never be alone again. I don't know what kind of life he lived. I don't know, you know, how kind of companionships he had. But I just believe that Jesus told this criminal, in essence, that I'm going to be with you from here on out. I've got this. I'll take care of you. You'll be with me and my Father and I. We will watch over you throughout eternity. You see, Jesus answered this thief's answers and his desire to be with Jesus and to be remembered far beyond even his expectation. The thief on the cross had some distant time in mind, but Jesus said, no, today you'll be with me. He just said, remember me when you come. He didn't know when that would be. He didn't know the time setting. He didn't understand, but Jesus said, no, today you will be with me. The thief on the cross had asked only to be remembered, but Jesus says, you will be with me. Amen. If you're with me, I'll always remember because I will see you and I will watch over you. Friends, come on, that's an encouragement for somebody watching. Jesus is watching you. He's with you. He is with you. He will be with you through all of life's experiences. The thief on the cross also looked only for a kingdom, but Jesus promised him paradise, which would lead to eternity in heaven with him forever and ever. Can I tell you, friends, the Lord has so much more than we can imagine, and he wants to encourage you tonight. You're not alone. Conversations with Jesus are just reminders that you are not alone. There's somebody you can talk to. Maybe you don't hear him with audible ears, or you don't hear an audible voice, I should say, with your ears, but you can still feel him speaking to the innermost parts of your heart, speaking to your spirit, speaking in your mind the things that he is wanting to say to you, friends. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, let your lives be without love of money and be content with the things you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. What a great promise from the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is our helper. We don't have to be afraid, friends, because God is with us. We're not in this alone. We don't have to walk alone. All we have to do is just have conversations with the Lord and be reminded of who he is and who we are in him. Even John chapter 14, verses 15 through verse 21, Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads him to all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. What a promise, friends. God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Matter of fact, he's even given us the Holy Spirit who will be with us at all times, friends, and he will reveal himself to us, and the Holy Spirit will reveal the Son, and the Son will reveal the Father to us, friends. All we have to do is just have these conversations to be reminded of the nearness of God, and he is so near, friends. He's as close as the mention of his name to you tonight. He will always be with you. I want to finish up tonight this teaching and just read some parts of an article that Dr. Ralph F. Wilson wrote titled, The Thief on the Cross. The Thief on the Cross, he said, we know what an encouragement the account of the thief on the cross has been to Christians down through the ages. But how about Jesus dying alone on the cross? What did it mean to him? I believe the Father blessed his Son with this strange companion during his last hours. a thief who would become a believer. Jesus had often chafed at the unbelief he saw around him. Even his own disciples themselves sometimes exhibited little faith. Jerusalem as a whole doesn't realize the hour of their visitation, but occasionally Jesus encounters someone with little faith to great faith. You remember the story of the Roman centurion who tells him that he doesn't need to physically come to heal his servant. All he had to do was speak the word, and he had authority to have it accomplished. Jesus is amazed at the man, and he says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Dr. Wilson goes on to say, if you've ever taught, you know how encouraging it is for a teacher to have a student who grasps what you're trying to communicate. Even if many fail to understand, at least your prize students understands, and that brings great satisfaction. You see, the centurion is one of those prize pupils. The thief on the cross is maybe another prize pupil, if we can say it that way. Neither of them is acceptable to the Jewish religious leaders. One is a Gentile and the other one is a criminal, but both have faith. And both, I am sure, bring joy to Jesus' heart. You see, Jesus is forsaken in a sense, even by his Father, as he hangs on the cross and as he bears the sins of the transgressors and takes upon himself the wrath and the punishment that God makes us whole with. But he does not die alone. The Father, think about this for a minute, friends. The Father gives Jesus a believer to be with him, or somebody that would come to faith to be with him in these last moments of his life while he was hanging on that cross. I don't know how mighty of a faith it was, but there was some semblance of faith there. This man, this criminal who can look past the raw wood and the nails and the blood and can see the heavenly kingdom that Jesus will inherit. He is a believer who wants in. And Jesus answers him as life on earth wanes. Yes, you will be with me there today in paradise. We'll go together, you and I. Wow, what faith, huh? What a promise, what a privilege, what glory that even in Jesus' last few hours, last few moments, as he's hanging on that cross, feeling forsaken by everybody, even his Father, he has a conversation with an unbelieving criminal who has enough faith to confess and to ask Jesus to remember him. Can I tell you, friends, God wants to have conversations with you because he cares about you. If he cared about that criminal hanging on the cross, how much more does he care about you as children? Even if you are a sinner, friends, can I tell you, God loves you and wants to have conversations with you. He wants to increase your faith. He wants to give you hope for tomorrow. He wants to show you that you're not just a sinner, but you're a sinner that can be saved by his grace, friends. God loves you, and he needs you, and he wants you, and he desires for you to have this relationship with him. And he will do that through verbal conversations, encouragements. You're not alone. Can I just say that one more time? You are not alone. God is with you, even unto the end of the age, friends. That's what he said in his word. I am with you. Those disciples, they didn't know what they were totally getting into. They knew in a sense, but when Jesus ascended to the Father, he made this promise to them, I will be with you even unto the end of the earth, the world. Friends, God is with us. Can I encourage you tonight? He will bless you, take care of you if you will let him. Come on, spend some time with him. Why not spend some time with the one who wants to spend time with you, who wants to tell you his heart, his mind, his thoughts, who wants to reveal the kingdom to you. Father, I just thank you tonight for, God, this conversation that you had with this thief on the cross. One thief mocked you, ridiculed you, didn't even seek to make any kind of amends for his life, but one in his last few moments of life himself saw the need and knew that you were the one that had what he needed for everlasting life. Lord, I just thank you for this conversation that you and him had, Lord, to show that, Father, maybe even on man's deathbed, Father, for those that have not that have not run to you, that have not made that confession of faith, that even in the last moments of their life, Lord, God, you're not asking them to walk through water baptism or seven steps of discipleship or growth tracks, but Lord, you're just saying, come unto me, and I will forgive you, and I will draw you into heaven with me. You have such a plan for your people, Lord. We just need to have these conversations with you, Lord. And we need to have conversations with other people. And Lord, give us the courage to do that, the confidence, the words to say. Lord, as we have just been circling around this neighborhood and praying and asking you, Lord, just to begin to draw the people of our community into your kingdom, Lord. You can use this church if you want to, Lord, but wherever you want to send them, draw them into your kingdom, Lord. We're praying that over our community, Father, over these businesses, Lord. And we're asking you just to do supernatural manifestations in and through their lives. Heal broken homes and marriages and families, Lord. Turn the hearts of sons and daughters to their parents, the hearts of parents to their children, Lord. Break off wickedness and temptation and addictions and trafficking and all these evil, wicked things, demonic witchcraft things that's tried to invade people's lives, Lord. Break it off of them right now, and Lord, set these people free so they can have a conversation with you and know that you've got them in the palms of your hands. Lord, I bless you, and I just bless this church. I bless those that are watching and those that will be watching. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them, and have conversations with them, Lord. And may they have conversations with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, Cheryl, Veronica, thanks for watching tonight. Lord bless you. Well, guys, thanks again for being with us tonight in service, and have a great rest of your week. Hope to see you Sunday morning at 10:30 at the Holiday Inn Express. We're still there at the moment, but I just pray that God will bless you and you'll just join with us. And let's have a great service Sunday morning. Have a great rest of your week. Be careful out there. Stay warm when it's cold, and don't let the wind mess up your hair, right? Amen. Love you guys. Look forward to seeing you Sunday.